When my best friend, Beatty, changed our travel plans and surprised me with a trip to Iceland, I was nothing but thrilled. Well, except for the fact that I felt like I had nothing to wear. Beatty, however, assured me that our commissions from our first book acquisition for my uncle would cover a small shopping trip for beautiful wool coats and appropriate hats. That alone had me excited, because while I was still coming into my own in terms of fashion, Beatty had long ago settled on her signature style and was all about helping me find mine. You might find the perfect velvet blazer to go with that long black broomstick skirt you have, she said as we landed, planning our afternoon in the capital city's downtown. But the long flight, the excitement of our last stop in Edinburgh, and the cold temperatures had me a little less than thrilled when we stepped off the plane in Reykjavik. Even with the promise of new clothes and the services of my favorite personal stylist, I just wanted to lie down and take a nap. Beatty was not to be deterred, though, and she insisted we check into our B&B and then get moving. I did at least need a shower to wash the grime off my excitement. When we reached our lodgings, the aptly named Bed and Books, I smiled. The rooms were quaint, and I had visions of spending afternoons in the comfy reading chairs while immersing myself in Icelandic literature. But first, my shower before we headed out to go shopping. Then we had business to attend to. My Uncle Fitz had sent us here on a book-buying mission for his rare bookshop in Charlottesville, Virginia, and while he had already set up a meeting with our contact about the title, I needed to do a little research to be sure I was prepared for the meeting. Before I dug into my preparations, Beatty helped me purchase a bright yellow peacoat that I would never have even considered, and convinced me that I really could pull off the plaid Doc Martens I'd wanted for 20 years. When we returned to our room, arms laden with unique and beautiful clothes, I felt rejuvenated enough to get to work. I pulled out my laptop and searched for Icelandic folklore. Very quickly, I found, not surprisingly, that many of the tales treasured in Scotland were also told here, if in a more Viking-like nature. Uncle Fitz's dossier on the book I was to acquire said it was a handwritten collection of elf stories, so I focused my research there. I'd imagined creatures like Galadriel, shimmering elves with glowing skin and beatific countenances. Instead, the elves of Iceland were reclusive, smaller, and more cagey. Apparently, they had residences and, going by one report, even a church in the lava fields outside the city. When their territories were disturbed, though, they got vindictive and vengeful. The more I read, the more I decided I liked the Icelandic elves far more than I liked Santas or even Tolkien's. Those creatures had always seemed too good and wholesome for me. I appreciated an elf who got grumpy when someone tried to take her house. According to Uncle Fitz's description of the book we'd come to acquire, the collection had been made in the 12th century by a descendant of one of the original Viking families and was thus considered rare and valuable on two fronts, because of its early creation and because of its ties to some of the original settlers of Iceland. The collector who had asked him to obtain the book was, as he described himself to Uncle Fitz, of old Viking blood, and wanted to add the book to his extensive collection of Viking material at his institution. When the librarian had invited Fitz out to his estate west of Charlottesville, where his book collection was available to researchers, my uncle had gone because he was fascinated by both the old plantation house the man had restored and by the collection itself. Apparently, the man thought he might impress upon Uncle Fitz his seriousness by showing him the array of swords, helmets, clothing, and books he had amassed about, as he called them, his ancestors. Little did this client know that my uncle took the requests of every client seriously, no matter their wealth, so such a show wasn't necessary. But from the video Uncle Fitz sent, with the client's permission, to show Beatty and me the collection as part of our background research, I knew my uncle had enjoyed every minute of that Greek Revival home, even if the Viking stuff wasn't really his cup of tea.